In his book American Made, The Enduring Legacy of the WPA, Nick Taylor suggests there are lessons we should take from the WPA today.
You have to look back at the Roosevelt administration to understand why the Obama administration is moving as fast as it is to put money into infrastructure. When Roosevelt took office, he created a relief program, the first purpose of which was to aid the suffering. There were homeless people, there were starving people, there were people who didn't have enough clothes. So the first impulse of the administration was to give relief. Then there was a temporary jobs program in the winter of 1933-34 called the Civil Works Administration. And then it was not until after that, at the beginning of his third year in office, that Roosevelt understood he needed a permanent jobs program, which was the WPA.
Are there signs still around us of works and infrastructure that the WPA put in place?
Amazingly enough, after 75 years, that is very, very true. Well, here in New York, you have LaGuardia Airport. In Washington, D.C., Reagan National Airport. Out in Oregon on Mount Hood, a ski lodge called Timberline Lodge. And almost everywhere people go, there might be some remnant of the WPA, whether it's the concrete pylons holding up the boardwalk on the Jersey Shore, whether it is walls or steps or stairs or campgrounds that were built by WPA workers back in the 1930s. The evidence of it is all around us.
But it's not just the big projects like that, is it? There are schools that were built by the WPA and projects in the schools. I was also surprised to discover that WPA was the source of hot lunches for schools. We take that for granted now.
Exactly. And there was a lot of malnutrition. Of course, people before the Roosevelt administration really didn't. Often people foraged in dumps for food and hung out in alleys behind restaurants waiting for the garbage cans to be put out, as horrible as that sounds. The WPA started the first hot school lunch program for kids whose families couldn't afford to pay for lunch, and ultimately served 900 million hot school lunches. And that program continues to this day.
The WPA wasn't limited to infrastructure projects. It played a role in increasing immunization in the schools, in creating nursery schools, in creating works of art. Those are not things that a lot of people would get behind for the spending of tax dollars.
No, it's really funny. If you look at the amount of money that was given to the arts in the Obama package, $50 million went to the NEA. And in the first year and a half of the WPA, $40 million, and that's $1935, went into the various arts projects. But we can look at those projects today and what they gave us and find that our cultural legacy has been enhanced remarkably by what those projects did. The murals that you mentioned, the public schools and other public buildings, they were painted by the Federal Art Project. The Federal Music Project entertained probably 150 million people, including servicemen at the beginning of World War II. The Federal Writers Project gave us portraits of our states and major cities as they looked in the 1930s. And then the Federal Theater Project created some of the most significant moments in American theatrical history.
You know, another thing about this whole business, the whole discussion, is that there are still people who see the literary equivalent of a red flag when you say the words New Deal, and especially when you say WPA. It was controversial, I guess, then. Still is. There are people who argue about it today.
Yeah. I mean, people said that its initials stood for we poke along or we piddle around, and they criticized the workers as idlers and shovel leaners and said that they really didn't work for the money. But, you know, I know for a fact, having interviewed some of them, that they worked and worked hard. What the New Deal did, and the WPA especially, but also the CCC and the other companion programs, was to really try to find work for everybody. They didn't want to make, for example, a great violinist into a second-rate road builder. It was all about creating jobs, but it was also about enhancing a culture, the whole cultural landscape of the United States, by allowing people to do the work that they knew. Therefore, musicians could play music and entertain people at concerts, and actors could act, and so forth. I mean, researchers could research, and painters could paint. And we have the beneficial cultural legacy of that today.
Yeah, I'm curious. You've obviously spent a lot of time looking at the WPA and comparing it to the modern situation. You've done a lot of research. You've looked at a lot of stories. What surprised you?
The thing that surprised me the most, Jim, is that the politics of today are so similar to the politics of 75 years ago. The people on the right say pretty much what they said in those days, and the people on the left are saying pretty much the same thing. The consistency of the political philosophies that mark the divisions in this country is the thing that surprised me the most. The other thing that surprised me in terms of the actual work that the WPA did was how good it was and how extensive it was, and that by giving jobs to people, finding work for people with all kinds of skills, whether they were white-collar or blue-collar or laborers or musicians or artists or what have you, I just think we're a richer country for it. And I think that what cuts through all the arguments is that we don't exist just to create wealth for, you know, smart, driven, entrepreneurial individuals. You know, we exist to create a country that we all can enjoy and we can all love the beauty of. And I certainly think that that was a lesson of the WPA that impressed me probably the most.
Nick Taylor. His book, American Made, The Enduring Legacy of the WPA, is just out in paper.